Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Web Nexus Effect. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and later I'll be introducing to you my co-host, David Livingston. And we've been doing a wonderful tech series over the last 8 weeks. And today is the final in that show series, though I'm sure it's not going to be the final time that you see David and I working together, because we've got a lot of projects underway at the moment. Now, before we get onto the show, I just want to say, if you're watching live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, don't forget to like, subscribe, or leave us a comment. You can connect with me via info@tonylontis.com. You can find me across all social media under my name or Tony TV. And the replays of all these live shows are found on Binge Networks USA, Hero Go TV, Paz TV, Zondra TV Networks, and on the Tony TV channel app available on Roku, LG, and Samsung across the planet. And you'll also find a replay of this show on the Everyday Network, the Everyday Women's Network, pardon me. Now, just a reminder, anything that we talk about today on the show, you will find links and show notes wherever you're watching this interview. Now, we have just rolled out our own network, the Everyday Women's Network, and David and the team at Web Nexus have been the wonderful developers of our platform, and we have a 3-month special running at the moment. So you get 3 months for the price of one if you subscribe to ewntv.online, and I'd love you to jump on and check it out. Now, each and every week we do something that is incredibly important to Australians. And this is part of an international movement that acknowledges the special and important role that Indigenous communities play in the development of our cultural identity. So today, I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, the traditional owners of the land on which we speak and broadcast. And I want to pay my respect to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here watching and listening today. Now, as I said, this is the final show with our amazing CEO of Web Nexus, David Livingston. Now, David is a digital product architect delivering solutions for businesses and companies across the globe based on e-commerce, OTT, video and live streaming, amongst a few of the things that his company can help you with. He has apps for ride hailing applications for the transport industry, and just about anything that you can think of, David and his team can find a solution for. Now, don't forget, David loves to hear from people who have difficulty with their technology and are looking for a solution that might suit them, their business, or their company. He has clients across the globe, from the US to Australia, from the UK to Singapore, and everywhere in between. He has an amazing team that backs him up. And if you want to talk to David, just email him on david@webnexus.com. We have his WhatsApp connection number and a phone call also attached to the notes of this show. Now, before I get further, I'd love to introduce you to David Livingston. Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, Tony. Thanks for that. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was thinking of the weather again today, and I'm thinking you must be going into the colder time of the year. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's getting colder, and we're enjoying the current climate here. It's pretty here.
What's
nice.
Cold in India, though? What do you guys think cold is?
Ah, okay. If I can put that in degrees.
Yes, please. Or Fahrenheit, that's okay.
Yeah, it's going to be like, for us, like generally, we have temperatures of 31 degrees.
Yes.
So July 31 to 33, 35 sometimes, in the summer 37 even, and this degree
Yeah.
Celsius. And now it is like 24,
Oh,
20.
that's nice.
Nice. So it's pleasant. It's not warm. It's not very cold. It's pleasant to live in the place where I am living. So it's like
Yeah.
the southern part of India, very
A
southern.
nice time of year, is it?
Yeah, nice time of the year, like rains, the drizzling of the rains, and you have a lot of
Is it
animals.
rainy season as well, David?
Yeah, we have some rains like here. The geography is like the December, November is all distributed with rains from the. We have western disturbance, like
Yes.
the western disturbance would be coming in, and we get the monsoon from that at this part of the year. So we have two monsoons actually, monsoon
Yes.
rainfall. We have monsoonal rainfall in two times of the year. So one is like the June month, and another one is like
Yes.
the. So it's
Amazing.
like cropping is based on that. The farming is based on that. So the farmers cultivate based on the rains here.
Yes,
So
yes.
they don't have the bore wells or the wells like that. So they don't dig wells, but they depend on the
Oh,
rains for their farming. So it is natural farming, something like that.
that's
So
cool. That's
yeah.
cool, actually. That's a nice way to treat the planet is to, plant your crops when you anticipate a rainy season versus irrigation from rivers and using our scarce water supplies.
So
David,
please, yeah,
go on.
please go. How is about still like the major part of the state is like still dependent on the river irrigation, rain irrigation. So there are dams from which the non-rainy seasonal cropping would be based on the water from the rivers, which is stored in the dam. So like it's pretty much like the irrigation doesn't depend on the dug wells, the bore wells,
Yes.
or the tanks. It is much on the natural sources of water in the ground. I
Cool.
mean, yeah, something like that. So we do that.
Yeah. David,
So,
I'm curious, when you were in school, did you ever dream of being a company owner and a global company at that and a tech company? Did that ever enter your head when you were in school?
honestly, no. But when I was in the school, I wanted to do something which is always out of like, I mean, it is not some bookcase, or it shouldn't be like something like somebody is teaching you and you do that. But it's always something that you get to invent. You do something which is like going to solve the problems. Maybe
Yeah.
one time in my school, I had no money, so I just started saving single penny I had got. And as I and my colleague in the school, like we saved together money, and we had a collective wallet. Back then, there was no banking account, formal banking for the Indian, like this
Oh.
back. We put a wallet together and we stored money so that we can save the fund for the trip. So it is like, how do we save money? That was the solution that we wanted to give ourselves, like that 20 pounds or 20 rupees or something like that
Yes.
we collected, and that we could save that for that particular trip at the end of the trip. So that was like a solution. I mean, this is connected to this solution, like whenever in my in, I, in when I'm in the school, like it was connected to this solution. How do we overcome this challenge? How do we overcome
Yeah.
that? I mean, getting good grades was not of my I mean, even from the schools, like when my parents even insisted. I was among the top students who did very good in the school graduations, like
Yeah.
80%,
Yeah.
83% was my university grade, 83% out of 100. So that was my mark in the university grade, and was the seventh topper in the state as well. So, but then like I didn't really wanted that, because all I did
Yeah.
was teach. My entire writing, my degree was a program. The college program was based on theoretical performances. I went to companies which can help me out to learn really what is there in the book. So instead of
Yes.
sitting in the college, I used to go to the companies which can give me the real practical education, and then see that diagram, see that machinery, see that architecture which is there in the company, and then like draw that in the paper and then explain what you have seen in the company. That
Yes.
would that was my way of learning things when I was in college or in my school. So even the school, when they were teaching biology or something like that, nothing gets into the head like them.
Yes.
Yeah, really. That's how you get to the, and the teacher would really say, like, again, I remember my biology teacher would say me like that, David, if you're going to write something like this, you'd never get some marks, good grades in the examination, because what you write should be on the book and you should be reading exactly, you should be like exactly writing the same sentences as that it is in your book. But to me, it is like a really tough challenge. I can write anything, but I can, yes. I can think of, I can put it in my brain. I can think over and write that, do a diagram of that. But they wanted exactly a copy of something in the book and then vomit it out. It's not of my thing. Though other students would do that. Indians, like if you see Indians, like
yes.
Indian students, they would, the reason that they get good grades is like they were able to like memorize a lot of things.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of time yeah. memorize.
So, and repeat it on demand.
Repeat it on demand. But nothing goes like, I mean, they do think on it, but there are so many people who do think on it. But most of the students in schools are taught in this way. So, but I was not of that. I just wanted to be a different. And it's not that I want to be different, but that isn't my way. I don't know why that happened for me. But I just want.
Yes.
I just wanted to be doing everything from like what I have.
So you had, even back then, you had a thirst for knowledge. And as you progressed in your education, you did, before you sort of got into digital architecture, there were lots of other things you did, from digital marketing to SEO to all sorts of things before you developed WebNexus. Didn't you?
Yeah, actually, my business journey started when I was in my school grade. Like, I remember when I saved the money, like, I was in my ninth grade. I was like, yeah. I got nicely from my daddy. So he gave me a good, I mean, that's in other countries, they would be called as physical abuse. I was just beaten up by him. Like, oh, aww. Why do you? You can't do that in the school. So I got nice beating. I got beat up by my dad, because you are not supposed to do that when you're in ninth grade. Like, you have to study.
Yes. Alone. Yeah. Because it's a big focus on education.
Yeah, education is in India.
From Indian parents. Big yes. focus on education.
Yeah. So when up till the college graduation, you have to be focused on education. So anything apart from that is not going to get you a good grade in the college. So as usual, like, my parents were also... Parents were also doing the same. So I was just trying to get some money saved up.
Yes.
One part of like, I do wanted to generate some money. I wanted to see like, how do I do some business? And then I dumped that idea. And when I was in my grade, after I got some physical disturbance from my daddy. And then after that, like when I was, after my college, immediately after
yes.
my college, into a job. But then what I did was I started doing some part-time like business as well. So I had taken around $3,000 in dollars, if I could say, just some $3,000, and I left the city for another
that's
city.
A lot, David, that's impressive. It's like, you know, I think about that and think that was a lot of money for you to say.
Yeah, that time it was a lot of money, but nobody was there to give that money. And then I have to sit, I will have to go for fasting to get that money. If you don't get me, that's a craze on the business. And then like, yeah. that's a really hard way of learning about the business.
Yes.
To be, and then like, I took the money, left the city out, because if I'm in the same city as my dad and family, where I really knew like I wouldn't do anything. Because
yeah.
to make this $3,000 yeah. into $10,000, $10,000 coming back, I should be somewhere where nobody sees me. I just should be focused on the business, and I can travel back, come to home at least once
yes.
a week. That's
yes.
fine.
Yes.
I left the city like 400 kilometers from here and left by the bus.
Yeah.
It was like I really like put a lot of hours, like 10, 15 hours every day in business, working.
Yeah.
Out,
yeah. That drive for business success started
yeah.
back then, yeah?
Yeah, because you took the money. You borrowed $3,000. You took $3,000 and you came out of the city. Nobody to back you up.
Yes.
Nobody's going to pay you that $3,000. If you fall down, you have to be paying that $3,000. So if that is a scenario and nobody to help you, and you don't have anything else to lose than that $3,000 and yourself,
yeah.
Then there's a moment that you will focus just on the business. So that is the moment that I put myself into. So I didn't have anything else to lose rather than accept my money and myself. So
yeah.
I have to focus all the time into business. Drive street by street into that city, give pamphlets, understand how the city's topography topography is like, where are the people living and where are these rich people who live in that city, give them the flyers, paper, how do I reach them, and a lot of other things. So that was one moment which I learned, like how to do some scripting in the business, what have to be talking, and that's the practical way of doing, and practical way, because you have to be refining. When we don't refine ourselves every bit of and every bit every day, then things will not be the same. Like if I were the same guy when I'm in the college or I'm doing my first business, I wouldn't do much better with the team which is back here today, because now these guys are, all the team members are really helping WebNexus and attached to WebNexus, because the boss is really fine to everybody. And when he's not fine and he's showing his angry face to them always, and he doesn't know how to manage the things up, then nobody would be there sitting. You have the hard way of hiring new talents and you have a HR team. Honestly, till today, I just have one person and he's not a full-time HR as well for us. So the reason I have put here is like that we don't have need to have a HR, because these guys who are sitting inside, they bring the new workforce as well for WebNexus, because they say this guy is nice and the company is really doing good and you can come back inside, you will have a lifestyle. So all this learning from the college to the $3,000 which I took, and to the day to the walkings, the unlimited walkings I did on the kilometers I walked on the streets, has built up, given up a platform for me to know like what does a real business is. And that is when I was in my 18, 19, 20, when I was exactly in 18 to 20, 21 year of age, I was really that $3,000. So my one time borrowing, I was able to help me to make around $2,000 a month minimum. I just had that. For that matter, I didn't sell any product. I didn't sell anything. That was a pure profit of $2,000 for me, and I just repaid the debt
into the
So it is like that was a real good learning. Also one more thing is like I really never had the passion for money or minting money into the packet when you have your good product, when you have a good service, or when you are taking care of your clients or businesses, or when the person who depends on you in a very good way, the money is not going to be like a problem for anybody. So that's what the message I would also like to add up here. So it's a lot of pure hard work. It's throwing up yourself into a situation where you have to be isolated. And when you want to grow up, when you want to do a startup, you just have to be focused on that one part of the business alone. Because in a startup, we have a lot of things to be worried about. You have to have a real good person with you or the teammates, product to sell, service to sell, the new ideas that has to come. Because the ideas are something much more important than anything else in a startup. So you mean there are so many things to worry in startup. We cannot have a friend when you're starting up a startup. And if you believe me, like you have to be believing me in this statement.
You have to believe in yourself, don't you, David? Like it's really important to like back yourself and go and keep going and remind yourself, I can do this. I can do this. Yes. I can do this.
Exactly. So you have to be losing all your friends, you have to be losing all your school grade friends, college grade friends, you have to be losing all your relatives. This is when especially you're in a startup situation.
Yeah, so that's just so focused on getting that business up and running.
Yeah, and then like when you are nurturing that, so you'll be in a moment where when you don't have money, especially in this situation, when you don't have money to put in your business, but you have a lot of time.
Yes.
But when you have 24 hours a day to put on business, no money, you really have to be closing yourself up. No mobile phone, nothing else. Just sit on the computer, think about the product, write scripts. How do I do this? How do I do that? And this is how do I reach the people? Where do I reach them? So fail a lot. I would insist like you have to be failing a lot. I mean, don't.
I know that I was just going to say one of the key things about a startup is that you fail a lot. You make bad decisions and you make wrong decisions, but you got to pick yourself up and just dust yourself off and keep going.
That's a lot of moment for a startup. And that's a lot of things which has happened. I mean, that's the way that it happens a lot, because when you fail down, like, even yesterday I was thinking, when I fail, there will be a lot of guys to clap down and say, I know this guy would fail one day. But when you are standing up, there is also another group of people who are going to come and say, yeah, I know this guy, he's going to do better in his grade, better in his business. So same way for startup people, like, it's not for me, just it is not me. I mean, this is a lesson that startup people have to be understanding, which I'm trying to say. So they have to be putting a lot of energy. They have to be spiritually strong, the mentally strong, to ensure that they are pushing themselves forward in the business. A lot of things in the Bible say so, like, you have to be the miracle life. I'm not a Christian preacher here anyway, but that's a disclaimer I want to put there. I just want to give a quote from the Bible said, like, Jesus went up the hill and then he had the loaves of bread and fishes to feed 5,000 people, 2,000 people, I believe. So he was in the up the mountain, and the small guy who is having this small thing. So this dinner, something like, when you are in a situation which you don't, where you don't have anything but your mental strength to feed all your mental ideas, and you have just 2 loaves of bread or 5 loaves of bread and 2-5 fishes, something like that. And there are so many things to be, so many people who are hungry to be fed. You still believe, you have to be believing that you can do that, and you have to be starting to distribute one after the other, and that will come up again and again. So your idea will start flowing over and over and over. So that's a parable which we can relate to our business as well. So we might have one penny in our pocket, but that doesn't matter at all. What does matter is, like, how and where we are distributing that, and where we are putting that, and are we really putting 100% of our brain into that, and the energy patterns into that, because energy, it matters a lot. Energy matters a lot. It means, like,
it does
energy. Yeah, it does a lot, because without energy, intensity of energy flow makes a lot of things happen. And that's where, like, people, the real successful people and the people who are failing are differentiated. So this is something which the startup owners has to be taking into care of. So taking risks is a part of a startup culture. So you have to be wild enough to take startup risk, and then you have to be wild enough to also back up that. Why did you take that risk? And then be able to generate funds and investments to nurture the ideas, because without that happening, when I say, like, without, we don't have funds to pay for the bills for the next month, and we just have a wild idea and we want to implement that, that idea would eat away all the money that we would have, definitely. And that would be eroded one single day.
Yes.
Instead, like, we could nurture our ideas and then just go, instead of doing that thing today, maybe we could have pushed that to day after tomorrow, and then that would be, we would have saved some money by that time, and then we would have done something much better.
And then you can do the next thing.
Next day. Yeah. So it's not procrastination, actually, anyway, but it is, like, we're doing it wisely.
Yeah.
So these are smaller lessons which, right from the college graduations, from school days, like, I've learned, which has set up. And then the digital marketing came, the street marketing, then digital marketing came, and from the digital marketing. So after learning the digital marketing, then I slowly wanted to make sure, like, how do we make revenue online? Because I don't want to work for anybody. I just wanted to be starting. How do we do something online? So I started a digital marketing firm, and then, like, slowly then the clients over digital marketing, they came to ask for a solution on a thing.
Yes. I was going to ask you about the evolution of, like, starting out in digital and then, like, segueing, getting into a tech company, which is what you have now.
Yeah. So then, like, after that, a digital company, digital marketing was slowly evolving. And then, like, I had these nice guys in the team. So Manoj and then Kavi, Tutte, Bala. So they are nice guys who started back then. And then, like, and then joined by Anbarasan. So these are nice guys who are in the top line today, and they are doing a lot of good things there. So this is on the development side. So when we had all those things happening up with the team members, slowly the these people, I don't have to be worried about whether they would deliver or no. I just, whatever is coming up, by the way, we have to just tell the priorities of that, stack up to
Yes.
them. That would be
Yes.
getting done from for the people who we work with. So the business whom we have associated with so far. So this is like how we transfer from a digital marketing agency to a technology solution
Yes.
provider.
And they
So
go so well together, though, David, don't they?
so that is one important part of the company's growth as well. So when we don't have a very good, strong, nice guys on the top line, whom you can rely and go to bed. I mean, have a nice sleep night. When I
Yes.
want to have a nice sleep by the night time, I just need to have some top line guys who are really good
Yes.
and good, really focused on what they really do. So the
Yes.
startups have to be having that. You, when something's having coming to you as a founder, and then you want to get that done, you can get this to the top people in the company, and then they can help the ideas to be implemented one by one, and then you can have the
Yes.
goals achieved. So
And
the
they're
top.
very solution focused. I know from our dealings with the team is we'll and we are not technology people. My team and I aren't technological geniuses. So we can go to the team and go, but what if we did this? Or what if we want it to work like this? And they'll come back and go, well, that might work this way, or it might work that way, because there's a lot of moving bits in delivering a solution for a company that is workable for them. Because each individual company is different in the way that they work and think, and they want a solution that works within their company culture and what they want it to do. And that's where WebNexus is really great at that solution type, finding what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, so initially to this answer, initially there are so many mistakes that we have done, and we have come across that it doesn't happen. Like,
Same, same.
yeah, that's how that that's a bit bitter truth to say, but I have to be
You
honest.
learn, don't you? When you
Yeah,
find a roadblock, you've either got to find a solution or a
but.
workaround or make something new. Hey.
Yeah, definitely. So that's how we did this one. So when this video on demand product or an e-commerce product,
Yes.
this not just a one day thought or an evolution, just like that. Okay, we had a meeting and we started this one. No, it didn't happen that way. We were just, that was in an idea stage for more than 2.5, 3 years.
Yeah.
We had start we developed a product, and then we did not know how to
Yes.
bundle that product up, and then we did not know how to what is the feature to add there on, what is that we have to, what is that would a client expect from us, what is that a business would require from us, and we never knew that at all. And then like then as days goes by, like we definitely, I mean, people have put up a lot of, I mean, people's, I mean, human ideas got a will
Yes.
definitely evolve a lot. So the evolution did happen in WebNexus as well. And so from the day one, like it took a lot of years to put in the ideas. Like we were in the idea stage for 3 years, but
Yes.
then we had clients to sustain, keep us running. So
Yes.
I mean, I shouldn't convey a wrong message to the startups which is listening here, but that's why I was just putting up a comma here and telling, because
Yes.
startups shouldn't take 3 years for an idea to get that as a product. They have to do fast, win fast, or fail fast, and then go to the next fast. So that's what I wanted to put a message here. So for us, 2.5 to 3 years was like we had other clients, and we did servicing to other clients, and then we were that's how we were able to survive. And then we had this idea putting on our heads, and we just was thinking, talking. We have been doing a lot of things, and slowly we put a pause to all the other slowly. That was happening very slowly, because we are not funded, we are self-funded. And I mean, so it's like slowly passing one by one, which is like where we put a lot of energy, and which is not a viable, replicatable business centric focus. But so we were just passing one by one, and then like slowly nurturing this video on demand product, and then failing a lot of times with the solutions, bottlenecks and everything. So it overnight, we didn't do anything like that. So it is like now 2.5-3 years again. So we have a wonderful solution. We are into TV networks as well, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and we can do something for that. We have solutions for e-commerce product, which is a scalable architecture. We have solutions on video on demand, which is a scalable product. And the worst part is startup or software company can fail is like they do not know how to maintain their codes. Everything goes into a mess. So that's the worst part that anybody has to learn. So we had that learning in a very, because the top tires in our company are like, they have started their life from this company in a ground up. Yes.
They've been with you from the beginning, David?
Been with us from the beginning. So WebNexus has a lot of people who started their career from the ground up, like from the 0th year to the 7, 8 years experience or 10 years. Very few people, like designers or somebody, would be like 10 plus years of experience, 15 plus years experience. Animators are 15 plus years experience. But most of the guys on the digital marketing technology sites are like, they started from us. And then like, if you ask today, what do you need? How do you manage your product? How do you? So they give the best solutions. And then like, we get the solutions the best possible way to our client. So it is like learning things, getting into a lot of failures. But as a business owner, like you have to be this engaging you from the failure. What I always directly do myself is like, I'm not a great person to give a lot of advice here, but I'm putting that disclaimer as well here. So I'm sorry for that. But if anybody is feeling this is not correct, you can feel free to put that in the comment section. I'll just take a learning back from you.
Gotta look at it as a learning experience. You can't look at it as failure. And it's not failure unless you don't do anything with that experience.
Yeah, it's not a failure at all, because failure doesn't come to anybody. It is the way that we see something as a bottleneck, then we term that as a failure. So when we put something as a failure, it means that we are stopping at that moment on that particular task. So we don't want to give it a try, or we don't want to push that down and move up on that.
Yeah.
But with the same task, if there is a different person, if he's just trying to put that as a stepping stone to step on that, and he sees something as a solution, that's not a failure for him. It's a stepping stone for him. So it's like perception, obviously. And I mean, this is psychological, so let's not do a psychological session here.
there's so many startups that think that they have to get it right first up, but they don't. Because you only grow when you're faced with failure or something going wrong or something going not right. That's how you learn, and that's how you grow, and that's how you develop a company, isn't it, David?
Certainly, yeah. So many people, what they do is like they keep the product in the development stage for quite a while, for a year, for a year and a half. Then they finally drop off the idea. So I would certainly say, from these years of experience to my teammates, like if there's a client who is saying like, if they're not going live, I mean, this is my own thought again. If somebody's asking for a lot of revisions and they're not they are not having enough guts to take the product to the live stage or to the people and face the people and then take feedback from the people whom they are going to engage as the client.
Yes.
This business is not going to be going in a lot of, this is not going to face a lot of headwinds.
Yeah.
So they'll just go down. But if there is a business who is just having a solution, getting into the market in a week time or 2 weeks time or 2 months time, and they're into the market, they're failing into the market, then they are seeing, okay, this is not working for my business. Okay, let me change the situation. Let me put a different coupon for the people, and then let me take some. So that's really going to win, because that's the way that a business at a startup has operating. But on the other hand, like if we have a lot of dollars, millions of dollars to waste upon, or to me putting a lot of time into that, and then we want to have a perfect solution, and a lot of great minds who have got a lot of years of experience on them, then it's fine. Like definitely the people have to go with a good product, zero level of bug, zero level of tolerance to any of the smaller things. But when we are ourselves in the nascent stage of learning in a startup curve, then that time we shouldn't be waiting for a problem to solve. Let's go take, all we need to see is a central line. Is that okay? If that is okay, then everything is okay to be launched. So let's hit the market, because WebNexus, when we see today, we are having over 3,000 pages or 3,000 to 3,500 pages in the website. But when I see this 7 years back, 8 years back, we just had this with one page. We had one page.
Yeah.
And that one page website, we had the guts to launch that.
Yes.
And then we added up a second page. With four pages on the internet, we were able to take a client from Saudi Arabia, and then we were able to sell a product to them.
Yes.
7 years.
That's and encouraging.
Definitely, because it's about it's a fake. I mean, only thing what would have happened is like the cost per acquisition, the cost per lead would have gone higher in digital marketing when you have five pages to showcase all your capabilities, but nothing else, then your cost per acquisition would go up. Yeah. Otherwise, like when you have 500 pages and a lot of information on a single page, if your single landing page is going to have a lot of information, back then we did not have a lot of information. I don't want to put a lot of false information as well. I don't want to put any false information, because anything we commit, we have to deliver. And so it is like 7 years back, that guy who was friend of ours, he still is talking to us from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, and he that's refers, awesome.
We have signed, I mean, just this year, 2022. We signed an MOU with that person from Saudi Arabia. And what he has done is like, David, okay, I'm going to refer you to some tech businesses, companies, and we can sponsor you in Saudi Arabia. This is like, if I had not done that 7 years back with five pages and with the business owner is not having the guts to go into the market, obviously we lost some money in that direction, definitely, I would say. But we are losing or gaining, let's go into the market, get into the front of people and then say like, okay, we are losing, we are winning, because there is always going to be some takers for our product. Many haters are going to be there, and that curve would be changing. It's a matter of a curve. So initially it will be a lot of haters, because no product is perfect when it is first launched.
Yeah.
Be it a Tesla car.
Yes,
be
you got to keep, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Be nothing's going to be perfect. You've got to find the bugs, and you've got to be, I've actually had that conversation with my little team and saying we need to get it out there so that people can tell us they can break it. that's the whole deal. We need to get it out there so people can break it, and they can tell us what's wrong, and we can get it fixed, and then we end up with a really great product. And you encourage that as well, don't you, David?
Yeah, definitely. I encourage that model of operation, because it's not like many would say like it's for the first impression is the best impression, but it is not. But okay, that's great and really good. But people easily forget that today's lot of information floating in the internet. People don't care to remember you at all the next time.
Yeah.
So the first impression is the best impression, but and the amount of impression that we are able to add up on our product and the guts that we have to go into the market, we have taken on us to go into the market and then like put our money into that product and market that, we would definitely have millions of people who are going to watch that. Otherwise, we would wait forever endlessly, and that product would never take a launch. See Amazon, see Elon Musk's rocket, which is going to reach, which is strike to the Mars. He has failed so many times, miserably, pathetically, that he has to close his entire company. But the last, when he has nothing to lose, he has put up all his energy, his time, his everything. He slept on his couch in the office. So probably, I think that's the moment, because when he thinks like he has so much of money, he would have not slept in his office. And lastly, when he has nothing to lose, he's got everything wrapped up. He slept in his office. Maybe in his couch at the office, he doesn't have a lot of time to sleep as well. So he built everything, was putting his head in everything, and then he got the product right. That's the last. If that is not going to be failing, Starlink as a company would have not been there today, and they would have not gone to Mars. So that's they would not ever dream of going to Mars. So that is what I usually also think. Amazon was a book selling company. If they didn't even think of selling books, if they even didn't think of trying to have a small room where in the basement of their home in 1994, they wouldn't be whom they are today. They have the largest data centers. Their data centers are the best in the world, in the top three. They have a lot of products to offer to the people. So it is
Yes.
like a lot of things. So they dare to go into the market and pay, be it winning or losing, let's do it in the market. So it is how do we market as well? Like there are so many marketing strategies when there was boom.
I know. How do you work out what's the right marketing strategy for what? It is that trial and error, isn't it? You just keep going until you find the thing that works and then you stick to it.
If you say like marketing strategy, there are so many smart strategies as well. In some, Puma was in their early stage. Puma, in the final match, I don't remember the match of the year neither. But Pele was wearing, Pele, the greatest footballer before Messi or some Messi came up before Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. These guys before this guys, Pele was there. So Pele was a great, I call it Pele. Maybe I'm sorry for the accent.
No, I would say Pele too.
You would say Pele too. Okay.
I would,
Pele,
I know who
Pele
you're talking about.
was, that's fine. That's enough. So Pele was great footballer, and that's the last match. And in that match, that's the last kick that he has to do. And that moment, he stopped the entire match, saying, I mean, he has to do a penalty kick, I think. I'm not sure. So he had bowed down his head. He has to tie a knot in the shoe, the lace in the shoe. And all the cameras in the stadium were focusing on a shoe, and this he's tying the knot. And there was a brand named Puma. There back then, Puma was not a great company. You see, like Puma approached Pele, and they said, "Okay, Pele, we are going to give you $25,000 or $30,000 that for one moment where you're going to bend down and tie a knot. We don't have to do anything else. Rest of the things we will take care of." That day onwards, it was like a very big. So people don't remember how what is that shoe made of. People don't really care about is that still shoe torn, or people really care about who is that wearing that shoe. And that last kick, which has made Pele's team win the game. Puma was the one which says Puma shoe was in the leg of Pele, and that Pele was able to do a good kick, charge a goal, and then get that prize. So that's how Puma as a brand built up. And Red Bull in UK, Red Bull in UK was like in 2011, I think. Like they had this moment. They want to make this product. They make this product a really good hit into the company as a company. Good. But back then, Coca-Cola, a lot of other brands were also there.
Correct.
Guys, well, what they did was like they really brought back all the trash cans of Red Bull, smashed that up, filled all the bins in the London area. All the bins were with Red Bull can. Wherever people are walking, they see Red Bull can, and suddenly, oh, why? This is a. I mean, then when you associate that, when a lot of Red Bull cans were in the dustbin, when the bins. When people see that, oh, I have not tasted this product yet. Well, what is that? So many, it's so popular already. Oh, I missed that. So people go into the market and they get. So it's a matter of dustbin and a love and a can already. So it is how the marketing is working with the people. So people really don't care about what the taste of Red Bull is. And then once they see the popularity of Red Bull, they go there into the Red Bull, get the Red Bull. And today it is one of the biggest
Top.
brands in the entire world. Use
And it's not just Red Bull's not just about drinks now, it's about lots of extreme sports that are, quite amazing. Jumping
So
off
they
cliffs and all sorts of things.
wherever I mean extreme activities are there, Red Bull just put their label on that one. So it's so they started with an extreme marketing idea like this: fill the trash cans in the London area with Red Bull. That's how they became popular. That was one of the activities, not on the TV or not on anything else. This London bins were
Which
made
is
them.
interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes you think that you have to be on traditional media to make a splash in the world, but that's not necessarily true, David. Nowadays you can create your own TV show, your own channel, your own network, your own platform. The sky's the limit, and people should get out and give it a go, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. So it's like we might have a great brand, but when we don't have the lace tied by Pele, like we need to find somebody else who's going to tie the lace. who is going to put the trash bins up. Or, I mean, maybe people would say like, oh, my product shouldn't be in the trash bin. It's a very good product. That should be in the showroom. No, that's not how the product is going to be marketed.
Yeah.
People would have that. So it has to be, even it is taking to take our product to the trash bins and put it there and say like, oh, see, so many people have tried us and that is already in the trash bin. Hundreds of them are in the trash bin. You cannot, I mean, that conveys a meaning psychologically that you have to also take this because so many people have bought it already and they have consumed it already. So such a thing, like so many companies have marketed. So it is like, obviously as a business owner, like it shouldn't limit you to take a lot of time to develop your product. It should take a lot of time to develop your marketing strategy as well. The moment of time that you have waited upon a developer to build your product is not going to make any sense unless we are going to sit there down with the team and then make sure that our team is going to be putting a lot of hours in evaluating, ideating, giving a lot of different ideas. Like, okay, very simple, very straightforward. It has to be just saying like, okay, where people are, where is my people, where is my target audience going to be? Let me be there in front of them and let me be showing. So that is how we'll be able to make ourselves very popular. We'll be able to make ourselves very viable to the people because our shows talk a lot about what we are. So it is like, that's how a lot of people are made as well. A lot of brands has been made, ice are made up as well. So the burgers, the Pizza Huts, so many things. We have smaller things. You know, McDonald's, like one McDonald's story, I'll tell you this one. In an Independence Day, Independence Day on Republic Day, it's a voting day.
Yes.
In one country, maybe like US or somewhere, or maybe Britain, I think again. So what these guys, the McDonald's guy did was like, the people were coming for ordering their meal, McDonald's meals. So these guys didn't give them the right meal on that voting day. They were giving some random meals. They told like, this is what we have. You have paid $10, but we have this meal in our ready right now.
You
should be able, you should take this meal. What is your preference? So you might have ordered burger, but we just don't have a chicken burger, but we have a veg burger right now already.
Yeah.
You should be taking veg burger. People, a lot of people got angry and then they returned that one and they want their money back. So this McDonald's presented the case with a tray. They had a tray.
Yes.
They had put a paper on the tray and there was a writing. If you don't go for voting today, this is your case tomorrow. You will be presented with something which you don't want by the government and you have to be forced to take that. Go vote first, come back, we'll get you the burger for yours. And that made people think twice. That made voting compulsory as well. You know, like you got the message, I think. So it is not that in your voting day, your priority has to be going to the voting vote ballot. You have to go and cast your vote. If you go come somewhere and do something, you will be forced with some other options. You'll not be given what you wanted by the government.
Yeah.
So that is one marketing strategy, and that was caught by the government as well. Government started broadcasting that.
Yeah.
So McDonald's ideas from the shop, people started tweeting that, sending that as a tweet by that. A lot of tweets went by, people complained like this. There was a small piece of paper under it, and top of that was a burger given. But in that small piece of paper and the tray, that this saying was written. So cast your vote first, otherwise you'll be forced to get what you don't want in your next 5 years or 4 years.
Yeah.
So that message spread across the nation and government started again the broadcasting in the same day. McDonald's is a big hit. So it's the crazier idea, the crazier marketing people
I was just going to say, David, before we run out of time, have you had any of those crazy marketing ideas for WebNexus? Not that they're actually crazy retrospectively, but I'm just wondering.
Might be like the moment when we started this product. So there was a different change of idea. Like when we had this as a service, the video on demand product as a service, there was a different flow of leads for us. But when we had this as a product, we suddenly saw a spike in the momentum that we could serve clients today. Only a single word was different, so product versus service.
When
you sell it as a product, it was a different story. When product means we were able to bundle it up, give to the people. So we didn't have a trash can moment yet, but we didn't think of a trash can moment yet, or maybe an voting day moment yet. Honestly, like we have to be doing that for sure. But one small thing that made a difference was like product versus service. So service,
Yes.
the product, we got some more leads for the same costing that we
Yes.
would spend on a marketing campaign versus a service. So it was
Fantastic.
that was getting us some good leverage. So it is like a very thin line, very narrow line. So
Yeah. That's just a little tweak, isn't it?
It's very small tweak. As a startup owner, like when we are thinking on a product or a service or something that we want to sell to our people, so it we need to find our moment, like how do we relate our service to the particular occasion, like for an Independence Day, for some day. And there are so many people, like hosts, so many people, like software people, or so many business owners leveraging internet a lot wilder way. Like one person which is from our city, he used to do 2 contents per day and 7 or 14 contents per week, and not more than 1 minute each content. So he's obviously going to make 14 minutes of content, but his content would get around organically, it would be minimum of 100,000 views, one video each as he drops. And he got a very good award in a stage recently as well. He's not just that one guy, but there are so many YouTubers, so many guys who's there living in that and down here. So these guys have a strategy. They spend their Saturdays ideating, putting ideas. Their Sundays are for shooting. Monday to Friday is their regular work.
Yes. Yes.
So half a day Sunday is their shooting.
Yes.
Saturday is their script writing day. Half a day for Saturday script writing. Yeah. So when that became a habit, these guys are now like stars. So business idea would be. So
there's
like
something
that
in there about consistency as well, David, is consistency and dedication and backing yourself. David, we are just about out of time, and we've had a wonderful conversation about the trajectory of WebNexus. And I just want to finish the show by saying that the solutions, products, services that WebNexus provides to their global clientele mean that you can have a solution to a problem, an e-commerce problem, or whatever it is. David and the team from WebNexus have the ability and the team that will provide that solution. David, just quickly, what's your favorite part of the business, i.e. what's your favorite service, product, or delivery mode?
Okay, you're asking about like if I was
What do you own. Like doing the best? What do you like doing the best as the boss?
Okay, definitely like if I had a good smile on my client, so that's best thing that I would consider.
That's what you enjoy the most, when your clients are happy.
Yeah, when it's happier means like it can be said as different. I mean, there are some different things so people can say I'm happy, but when you really feel that your clients are, you need to be, I need to be feeling my client is happy. So if you're really feeling your client is really happier, or maybe they're glad using your product and they are making some good revenue off the product.
Yes.
And their investment is not wrong. Their decisions are not wrong. And you have proved together with them, you have proved that their decision is right and their path, the path that they take is right. So that's really putting a good smile on me and the business. And that's together because it is what that gives you good mileage when you go forward.
Yes.
It's a selfish motive, okay? But... But the selfishness doesn't.
But that's what drives you forward, that solution providing with happy customers. That's what keeps you going, yeah?
Yeah, that's what keeps me going because you have a lot of souls who across the globe who can say, okay, I trust.
I worked with WebNexus. I spoke to David. What a great result.
And I'm from a very humble, very small town in India, and that was, and I'm really thankful to all my global clients, people, and those who have worked with me, and especially Tony here,
It's been great. It was the best decision to work with WebNexus. Absolutely. I am a bit biased, of course, but I can't recommend you highly enough in terms of the product, the service, and the ability to communicate when we've got an idea. Like, all of that was very important to me. And that's what WebNexus has provided for us. So, David, it's a wonderful company. I am very privileged to have been able to spend 8 shows talking to you about where you've come from and where you are. In a final 1 minute, I'd really like to know what the next 5 years looks like for WebNexus.
Okay, definitely. I'll just wrap up this in a minute time. So, but the next 5 years is going to be really great, promising, because the world is going to see a lot of evolution, because
Yes.
the world is going to see a lot of transformation as well. Or 5 years down the line, like you'll be left with a lot of your communication is going to change. So I have to be. I think like WebNexus is going to be having helping a lot of people transform the way that their communication is made. I mean, so they might build their own communications application or their
Oh,
internal
wow.
communications tool. Many companies would have their internal communications tool for the matter of security.
Yes.
You cannot go into a public communications tool to talk with your internal team people. Like if you
Yes.
are a company which is like having 100 people and you have a decision making, you cannot use a competitor's product which they can spy on you, so you have to be having your own product and communications. So
Yes,
that's what I
yes.
see like 5 years from, I mean, as an evolution. And then e-commerce is going to take a very big leap because
Yes, yes.
it's only going to grow further north, so it's going to go further upward. So you should be, if you are a business owner which is an e-commerce, you should be obviously launching e-commerce. So
Yes.
as a company which is doing software on e-commerce, I see a lot of positive potential growth in e-commerce. And obviously, I believe like strongly next 5 years we would have at least close to 300 to 350 people supporting the global clients that we have across. So I believe WebNexus would have over 300,
Amazing.
350 to 400 people on board the company, which is 3 times. I'm just saying
Yes.
3 4 times the presence because this strength of WebNexus. So I think we would have that. So which is to help people. It is not our growth, because without people, without clients, without
You get
the
to
solution.
help more people, yeah?
So it's
Yeah.
just the people. I mean, it's not me. If you take me, we are so chapel, like the free floater, which is like $5, $10. I don't take too much money. This morning was in a one of our colleagues' thing, but I was very having very very casual dress and very simple. Everybody was seeing me, staring at me. Why this guy is so much wearing some free floater to the meeting? No shoes, no set, nothing like that. So that's a life. Like when you go on the last day, so that has to be relating to your last day when you're living your breath. So that has to be the value of WebNexus as well. So when I see like 350 people, it is not the boast of the pride of WebNexus. It is to say like we want to try help the clients. Communication is going to grow in a big way. E-commerce is going to grow in a big way. Entertainment is going to grow in a big way. So we have to be helping a lot of businesses, clients with our success. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's what I envision.
David,
Thanks.
fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me. That, my friends, is your lot for this week. This is Tony Lontis with the WebNexus Effect and David Bright Livingstone. Been talking to you for the last 8 weeks. Please make sure you reach out, connect with David and the team at WebNexus. They are amazing and provide the best solutions across the planet. And that, my friends, is your lot for this week. Bye for now. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.